2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26. And our message this morning is entitled, People Opposing Themselves, from this portion of the Word of God. In verse 25, 2 Timothy 2, we read this, In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, contradictions in behavior appear very often in the human race. And such contradictions seem to be really diagnostic of mankind. Adam and Eve had everything they could possibly want and need in the Garden of Eden, yet they opposed the very best interests of themselves in favor of sampling some fruit. That's the bottom line. And we imagine, when we think of this incident in the garden, that the fruit in Eve's hands must have had a huge spiritual crossbones and skull drawn upon it. And on the outer layer of that message of skull and crossbones, the word in red, the word poison, must have been written in bold letters. It must have been very visible in the mind, in the mind's eye of Eve. But with such a message being at least strongly implied by God's warning, they ate the fruit anyway. What is that? What is that that makes human beings go beyond their best interests and make decisions in their lives that may impact the entire road of their life till their day of death? I don't know what it is. We call it depravity. We call it the perversion of the human nature of man. But what is it? Because as we look at Adam and Eve, we notice that at the time that that lady took that fruit and ate and gave to her husband and she ate, that depravity was not yet a known factor among humans, and yet they did it anyway. What is that? I just call it human nature. I really don't know what it is. But in our text, we read of some types of people whom the Apostle Paul noted would be opposing themselves. And then as we read of this, our minds certainly have to think for a while upon the implications of this self-opposition and what ramifications for people there are in these self-opposings. What's the root of this particular kind of opposition? What's the outcome of it, we may ask ourselves? And what's our role as Christians in regard to it, we must necessarily ask ourselves. And what can we expect as we act out our roles as Christians in regard to people that oppose themselves? What kind of outcomes can we expect to come out of these things? These are just some of the things we want to consider today. And I'm trusting that God, the Holy Spirit, will just provide us some real realistic and sobering thoughts about the nature of human self-contradiction. And I said when I got up here to lead in prayer earlier that I've been having a great battle and difficulty with this message that I'm called upon of the Lord to preach this morning. And the difficulty is this, brethren. As I look at where our nation is going and what our administration and our Congress is doing with our money, all in the name of economic stimulus, I find myself in a place where I think thoughts and feel things about our nation's leaders that are not at all in line with what God has commanded us in this portion of Scripture, and that bothers me. I'm supposed to act out what God has bidden us to do with those who oppose themselves in this portion of Scripture, and yet I find myself very, very compromised about with my own thinking about my feelings toward our nation's leaders. How can I, a plain country preacher in some forgotten corner of Benton County, Tennessee, possibly instruct those in the reaches of government in places of leadership? How can I possibly instruct those that oppose themselves, those who think and imagine that they are in every way right to lead us down this primrose path of socialism that we're moving toward? How? How can we do it, brethren? We just live in Benton County and Henry County and round about Tennessee, and we just go about our daily duties and our weekly duties and our lives. We just want freedom. We just want to be left alone. We just want to be left to be American citizens, as the great founding fathers of our country indicated that we would be able to live. And yet in the midst of all this, we suddenly find ourselves confronted with unimaginable threats to our religious liberties and freedom by leaders that we have elected and sent to Congress. And I want to tell you, if some of you feel the tinges of bitterness and the tinges of resentment the way that I do this morning about where we've been forced to go by those who have power and godlessness at the same time, then you know how I'm feeling as I stand here and make an attempt to preach what God has given me to preach, and all the time knowing that this Word of God is very true. That this is exactly what God would have us to do, and how to do it, God help us all. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, as I labored to come to a good spiritual place last night. God gave me this message earlier, last week, and an extended morning message made it that I didn't preach it Sunday night as I thought I'd been given it for. But the Lord laid it back on my heart this week. And as I sat last night laboring to come to a place to preach this message, I realized that I couldn't preach this message until I did something else. So I sat down and I wrote the President of the United States a letter. I'm going to bring a copy of that letter and let you read it this evening. I'm going to send that letter out tomorrow. This letter is going to get me in trouble. But this letter that I've written is in meekness, but it is instructing those that oppose themselves. And God helping me, I'm going to send this letter to every congressman and every senator in our national government. And all this letter does is tell them what God says about killing the unborn and about condoning and encouraging homosexuality in the United States. And I trust God for this because, you know, I sit in a very strange and sensitive position. I'm a federal employee. It's very likely that this is going to get me in trouble. But you know what? I'm with the apostles when they said we ought to obey God and not men. And as God has laid this on our hearts, we want to be very careful that when God lays something on our hearts and gives us a burden about things that are wrong and things that are wicked, that we execute that burden to the fullest extent that God lays it on our hearts to do. And so, we are bidden of the Lord that in meekness we are to instruct those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And God helping me, I'm going to do that. I'm not doing it in the name of Harmony Missionary Baptist Church, but I am going to do it in the name of Robert P. Myers, pastor of Harmony Missionary Baptist Church. And I trust that you will allow me that access. I want the leaders of our land to understand what God saith about these two issues. There are other issues that we can live with and we can work around. Issues about how they're using our money are large issues, but one of the largest of those issues about how they're using our money is that they intend to be using our money to kill babies. Your tax dollars and mine are going to pay for some woman to go into an abortion clinic and have an unborn and innocent child killed. Now, you might be able to sit at home and let that happen. I can't. And I don't think you can either. But we can instruct those who oppose themselves that peradventure God may grant them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. And I stand in this pulpit this morning and firmly believe one thing for sure. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces to the dividing asunder of the joints and the marrow of the soul and the spirit. And it reveals to men the God with whom we have to deal. And if we'll just oppose those, if we'll just instruct those who oppose themselves with the Word of God, I believe God will take that and do something with it. I want to tell you where this is taking me as a man of God and as a citizen of the United States. And maybe by telling you this, you can understand where it may take you when it comes your time to stand for the truth. I'll get to see my congressmen and my senators and my president at the great white throne judgment one day. And when they look me in the face, and the God of my salvation looks me in the face, He won't be able to charge me and say, "Bob Myers, you knew what your nation's leaders were doing, and you said nothing to them. And I told you in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to instruct those that oppose themselves if God peradventure would give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth." God will not be able to say that to me. And so I will stand innocent from the blood of all men on that day in regard to these issues that our nation's leaders are dragging us down the road to perpetrate against the innocent. And in doing this, it may be that God will grant them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. It may be that they'll send some officials to my door too. But you know what? There comes a time, brothers and sisters, when we must obey God and not men. And you know, we as Americans have stood quietly by for years now as Roe versus Wade had a war waged around it. And we have complained about the millions of infants that die at the hands of doctors and abortion clinics across our country, but we haven't gotten serious about calling upon God about it. And we have complained about how that homosexuals in our land are coddled and pampered and encouraged and put in positions of leadership and are encouraged to blaze abroad the sexual behavior in their lives. We've complained about it, but we haven't done anything about it except to complain, and I trust to pray some to God about it. But I believe that part of the things that we are to do are to declare that we know what God's Word says about such things and to instruct those who oppose themselves if God peradventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. I believe there may be some Christians in Congress. But even if there aren't, I notice here that this class of individuals that have been defined by the Apostle Paul's writings as the Holy Spirit inspired were lost people. If they are taken captive by the devil at his will, they're lost people. Because you know what? We are supervised by God, the Holy Spirit, as children of God. And we're not quite that easy of a prey for the devil to be taken captive by him at his will. And so we find that this instruction is about opposing people that know not God, people that haven't got a clue about what they're doing, people that are going along willfully against God because they're just unrepentant, lost sinners. Now, while we argue and claim the largest Christian contingent in the world today in the United States, I really have to question at this point how many folks in America are saved. And you do too. And you question it based on what our nation's leaders are allowing and doing and how they got there. Because our nation's leaders got there because we went to the voting booth and punched some buttons. And if our nation's leaders have gotten to the place that the majority of them are godless and without conscience, then it's because we, as the citizens of America, have punched some buttons and put them there. Maybe we don't have any other options. Maybe we don't see any Christian leaders stepping into the political limelight today. Maybe we don't. Maybe we don't have enough Christian leaders that run for office for us to be able to elect Christian leaders. And so we're left with what we might call the best of two bad scenarios. Whatever it is, we know that they are there and that they are opposing themselves and that they are opposing us. They oppose themselves from the very inherent human attitude that causes people to hate being wrong and to hate being reproved of depravity. They oppose themselves because they are in rebellion against instruction that may contradict what they believe. There are a class of our nation's leaders that believe that what they're doing is right. And for you to tell them that they're wrong is to contradict what they believe, and they will oppose themselves as they follow after what they themselves think is the right thing to do. Now, we find that the nature of this self-opposition that we see acted out by our nation's leaders today in leading us down this path is a thing that opposes all that can possibly bring them eternal benefits. And you know, I'm not speaking about how our nation's leaders are doing. I'm speaking about how humans do. When humans oppose themselves after the fashion of our text, they oppose all that can possibly bring them eternal benefits. Only the truths of God can produce eternal benefits. And I want to tell you something. When a nation begins to practice things that so obviously oppose the truths of God, they are opposing that, the very things that can give them the greatest benefit for their souls and for their lives. You know, I don't know how the rest of the world feels about the Lord Jesus Christ, but I know how believers feel. And we as God's people know and understand fully that all roads lead to Christ. All roads lead to Christ. It doesn't matter whether it's a road of rebellion and rejection and wickedness and despisings of the thing of God or a road of obedience to the things of God, all roads lead to Christ. Because one day, every road is going to end at the throne of God. For every human creature that ever traveled this earth. And when they get there to the throne of God, every soul is going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is clear. Maybe the responsibility to those who are rebels against God isn't clear to them. But our responsibility to those who are rebels is very clear to us. And our responsibility to God in regard to our own lives is very clear to us. We want to be at the end of that road looking our Lord Jesus in the face and Him saying to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter you. You enter into the joy of your Lord." We don't want to hear Him condemn us for not having warned and blown the trumpet when things were going awry. I don't know how you feel about America, but I love my country. And I really do believe that America was founded on Christian principles. I really do believe that the founding fathers had God Jehovah in mind in the formulation of the things that are in our Constitution, and they had the freedoms of the American people in mind. And when leaders anywhere, anytime, in any era jeopardize or threaten those freedoms, or jeopardize the promulgation of the truths of God, or stand in the face of God and say, "Maybe you were right about this in one era, but you're not right in this era," then they are opposing God and opposing themselves. And when a nation, under any circumstances, does that, we have cause to be very, very, very concerned. But we come to the question of how that we must ask ourselves, and that is how may we counter this self-opposition? Well, the first thing that comes immediately to mind out of our text verse is that we must interact with those people in meekness. You know, you can buttonhole a guy and tap him on the chest and tell him how wrong he is, and you know what will happen? If you're not a good fighter, you get whooped because people won't put up with it. But you know, there's a certain capacity to persuade men and to ward off wrath by simple offerings of meekness. If you just can tell people simply and plainly, God says this. This is the Word of God. This is what God would have us as His creatures to do. It goes a long way toward persuading men. And I'm persuaded that that is the roadway, the pathway that God will use to convert men's souls, to convert men's thinking who would otherwise be opposed to God. That in the pathway of meekness lies a powerful force to reach souls and to speak to them about the great God who rules all. And then our text verse tells us that we can do this. We can counter this self-opposition by men by instructing and admonishing and pleading in humility and love. He says to us, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. We just need to instruct them using meekness, recognizing that they are opposing themselves. Yeah, they're opposing us. We recognize that. But notice that the Scripture puts something else in a higher priority than the fact that they are offending us and they are hurting us and they're jeopardizing our Christian freedoms. They are threatening our lifestyle. They are jeopardizing our American freedoms. The Scripture puts in the first priority that they are opposing themselves. Now, you know, you can really reach a man, woman, boy, girl, if you can reveal to them how they're opposing themselves. They might be ready and willing to oppose you and say, "I don't care if I'm opposing you. Your aspirations, your goals, your objectives are not mine." But if you can persuade men that they oppose themselves, it's a whole story of a different color. And I believe God knows that and knew that when He had Paul pen these words, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, I could get a really bad guy probably to cut one of my fingers off with a pocket knife or a machete if I threaten him enough. If I beat up on him enough verbally or otherwise, I believe I could get him to take my finger off. But if I could ever persuade him that he's about to cut his own finger off, that what he's doing is cutting his own throat, that's another story. And people identify with that. People recognize threats to themselves when they don't recognize threats to others. And so the wisdom of the Spirit of God is instruct those that oppose themselves by teaching them, admonishing them about this self-opposition. And then we can also counter this self-opposition by trusting in the Lord to make our efforts effectual to those self-opposers. Look how our text puts it. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Isn't that wonderful that the Holy Spirit has in mind, has in thought, has in perspective the idea that if we instruct those who oppose themselves, it just could be that God will grant them repentance under the acknowledging of the truth. Now, I will warn, and I admit that readily, that most of the time, self-opposers and rebels against God will go on until they're totally smashed. We see that acted out perfectly in the actions of the Pharaoh in the days of Israel coming out of Egypt. He wouldn't be satisfied until God had practically destroyed the whole land, destroyed his army, and left him in the rubble. But you know, it isn't always that way. I believe these verses encourage us to believe that it can be otherwise. And that we ought to recognize that it can be otherwise. And we ought to approach this process of instructing those that oppose themselves with the idea in our hearts, the thought in our minds, the hope upon our souls that God will grant them repentance under the acknowledging of the truth. I wouldn't mail my letter if I thought it was going to fall on deaf ears. I wouldn't bother. Really, I wouldn't. But I'm encouraged by the Lord to mail the letter because somebody, God may touch somebody's soul as a national leader up there in Washington and start a fire that can save America. And I say this very seriously, brothers and sisters, if we continue down the path that our Congress and our administration has outlined for us, God will destroy America. I don't know how much clearer to put it. It is true. We are so insulated from what is about to happen to us that we live in such peace and calm. And things are so good in America that we almost can't imagine the end of it all in our lifetimes. But it is coming. I want God to save America. I don't want to see God pour America down the tubes. I don't. But I can tell you, and I'm not a prophet, that if we continue rebelling against God, and not just rebelling once nor twice, but every time that a different administration cycles through that has different moral objectives, we again kick in the face of God and spit in the face of God and reject moral righteousness and choose the evil, God will only put up with that so long. And if we go down the road we're headed now, He will destroy us. So I have hope that perhaps God will grant some repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. And so I am trusting in the Lord to make the effort effectual to those self-opposers. And lastly, we can counter this self-opposition by praying for fruit. Never before as long as I can remember, are we more in need of prayer regarding the imminent destruction of the American way of life than now. We need prayer, brothers and sisters. Put it in huge letters right on your personal prayer list and pray for salvation for our country, for preservation for our country, for enlightenment to our leaders, for a turning away from the wickedness about to be perpetrated and a turning to God for wisdom and guidance. Pray, my brethren, so that we may counter this self-opposition that's going on. Last of all, what can we hope for when we approach this self-opposition in the appropriate spiritual frame? What can we expect to come out of this? Well, I've already hinted at it, but I'll just summarize it again. I think we can expect that because we've intervened in God's name, in God's behalf, on God's behalf. And you know, that ought to be the only reason we go there and do that. It's because we're intervening for the honor and the glory of God. The one thing that I know is the pathway that we're moving toward is the most dishonorable thing to God that I have seen in the American account in all of my lifetime. It's the most dishonorable to God of anything that has ever come down the pike. And if somehow or another my testimony and yours is faithful enough that someone gets the message, and even if they don't get the message, that God gets the message, that we honor Him, that our faithfulness is toward Him, that we don't want His name dishonored, that we don't want His righteousness dishonored, that we don't want His precepts spit on and trampled. If we get the message to God, it'll be sufficient. And so I think that because we've intervened, God may grant some repentance about their self-opposition and acknowledging of the truth, and God will be glorified at any rate. And then last, I think we may expect that when we instruct those that oppose themselves, that God may give them what they need to extricate themselves from the snare of the devil. Do you know what every human being on the planet is doing when they begin to advocate wicked things? They are in the snare of the devil. Do you have some national leaders this morning that are advocating opening wide the doors of every abortion clinic in America and subsidizing abortion in foreign countries? You have some national leaders that are in the snare of the devil. Do you have national leaders this morning that in the floor of Congress are saying homosexuality is just fine? In fact, we're going to punish you if you say anything about it. We're going to arrest you for hate crimes. Do you have any national leaders saying that this morning? They are in the snare of the devil. I don't know how much clearer to say it. But if we instruct those who oppose themselves, it's possible that God will grant them repentance unto the acknowledging of this truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Even those who are taken captive by Him at His will may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. You know, lost people can do ethically right things. Lost people can conduct good moral business. It's true. And so you can have a Congress full of lost people, and they can do business for America in a righteous, an upright, an ethical, and a moral manner. They can. Huh? But can and will are two different things. And when a nation is in the snare of the devil because its leaders are in the snare of the devil, they won't do moral rightness. They won't do ethical rightness. They won't do that which honors God. They will follow the dictates of the devil and bring upon themselves and their countrymen swift destruction. I remember that at the beginning of Bible times in the New Testament that we read about, that when the razing, the destruction of Jerusalem occurred, and when the Romans, anytime they moved in and took over a city and put down insurrection or anything else, if a Christian happened to be there, well, he went to the lions just like everybody else. And brethren, I want to warn us this morning. If these countrymen of ours, if our fellow countrymen, citizens all, regardless of whether lost or saved, if they go into a bad place because of wicked rebellion by our nation's leaders against God, we'll get caught up in it and we'll go too. If the nation is destroyed because of wickedness wrought against God in the face of knowledge, we won't have a country. And whatever befalls our countrymen down the road will befall us. Yes, yes, we'll have grace to bear up under it. And we'll bear it. And God will give us a place. And if we get killed in the maelstrom that follows such a thing, God will take us home to heaven. And that's wonderful news. But the suffering, the damage to be done, and we here this morning have an opportunity to change that by instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will grant them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. I want each of you to make a commitment this morning. Every member of this church, I am going to instruct those that oppose themselves. When I hear them talking this garbage, I'm going to say, God condemns killing babies. God condemns homosexuality. God condemns the ungodliness that is being perpetrated and promoted and encouraged by the leaders of our land. Say it to them and look them in the face. And let's be right with God, even if we're wrong in the eyes of those who oppose themselves. Let's stand. Let's sing a number. Maybe God's spoken to you this morning about something that you need to do in obedience to or service to God. We invite you today, while it is called today, to do what you know to do in obedience or service to God for the glory of God, for the honor of God.